Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a sick week with an artist all the way in from Singapore. Our time got messed up yesterday, but we made the interview happen. Mer the Wiz jumps on, talks about Beefy Boy and all the cool stuff he's got coming this year. And not on the podcast, we talk about the next booth setup for him, and it is insane, and it's going to be out of this world. Just get ready. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It helps this podcast get into more ears, which then we have the ability to produce more. If you want to support us and follow along with what we're doing, like on all socials at Toys on Tap. You'll see the new logos, all the cool stuff. And if you want to support even more, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where you find all the extra stuff when we do it. It's been sparing lately, and I'm so sorry. But we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that and what we're going to do and what would be best for everyone. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
Yo, hi.
Dude, it's a long time coming. I have one of your early pieces and I'm pumped.
Yeah, thank you, bro, for bringing it out.
Of course. I'm pumped that you're on. I'm like, sorry for the mix up yesterday. I thought that you guys were ahead of us, but you're behind us in time?
Yes.
It's Singapore?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that messed me up. You're my first artist that we've had an interview from Singapore, so we're on.
Honored, bro. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm pumped. Also, is that a giant one behind you?
It's a giant. What do you call it? The box. So this is how the box comes in for like the big 18 cm ones.
That's is this what size is this one?
12 cm.
Okay, that's crazy. Yeah. Are they all? We're going to get into this. We're going to for sure get into this. I have
should
so
should
many...
I bring it first?
Then yeah, like, go get the 18 just... one. I got to see the 18 one.
I got 18 one and then like a massive one. One sec.
Oh, bring the massive one out.
Like a massive one that I brought over to like conventions to get like signatures with some different artist friends. This is the 18 cm ones.
Oh, dude. How do I get an 18 one? Do you sell those online?
I do sell them online. I haven't been posting much on social media as much, which is what I need to improve on. But yes, I do.
Okay, because I want a big one.
Oh, man, bro. Thank you.
Of course.
This one is like a Hulk colorway.
Yeah, I love it.
I tried. Then the other one. I have only... This is the massive one.
Holy jeez.
So this is like 18 cm in comparison.
Yeah.
And then I don't have a loose 100 one, but that's the like 100%.
I am on the different system. So that is 18.
Oh,
that's like 8 inches, dude. The 18 cm one, right?
Yeah.
And then how tall is the biggest one?
Double the size.
Holy jeez. That's so sick.
Yeah. So this one I got.
That design is
different. Artist signatures here at Pop Toy Show.
Yeah. We're gonna get into it. We're for sure gonna get into this. Because I think I also have your stickers right here too. It was the first time I'd seen a sticker sheet like this. It's somewhere in here. Oh, here it is. It's so sick. The sticker design is insane.
Oh, bless. Thank you.
All right, let's do it. We got to jump in. Just like every episode with every artist, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, hi. I'm Merrick, aka Mer the Wiz, and I'm a Singaporean toy maker.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I am so interested. One, if we start at just the name, it's like a mashup of two different things, right?
Yes.
Tell me what those mashups are.
So it's Mer the Wiz. So it's short for maybe like Merrick the Wizard or the Wiz, because I tend to do things a little bit quicker, or like maybe I also whiz around. So I thought that would be a very cool kind of like artist nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's rad. Take me back. Did you grow up in Singapore?
I grew up a little bit in Singapore, so
Great.
I spent a lot of my life overseas, actually very blessed to have that opportunity.
Awesome.
So I studied in the States for 5 years, in DC. Then I studied in Japan for 5 years in Tokyo. Then I came back to Singapore for a little bit, then went to Jakarta, Indonesia for 2 years, which is like my high school or A levels. Then I came back to Singapore to serve national service as part of like the national duty. Then I went overseas to UK for my universities.
You've
Yeah,
been
so
everywhere, dude.
yeah, a little bit everywhere. Very
Holy
grateful.
moly. Tell me about growing up, being in a spot where you're traveling your whole life. Tell me about growing up, where you were when you grew up, and then the cartoons, the toys.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave, go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys
We talk about old toys
and new toys.
and toys that we
And
make.
we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who
But
knows?
you gotta check it
Anyway,
out.
Toy
Toy
Rats,
Rats.
YouTube,
Bye.
all the things that impact you, because this doesn't just happen. So tell me
Yeah.
that all that.
I think the fascination to cartoons and just creating came from watching American cartoons when I was growing up. That was like my youth. And same as in Japan. So those together, I watched like Power Rangers growing up. I watched a lot of like Cartoon Network, like Codename Kid Next Door and like Ben 10 and all of these kind of out of this world characters, which I thought was really, really interesting, builds the creativity and imagination. Then only in my later on, as in high school or in university, then that was when I want to pursue art. So in uni, I did fashion branding, which is very different from what I'm doing now in a sort of way. But during my last year of overseas study, I worked at a contemporary art gallery. We did like a Skillshare sort of situation. So it wasn't paid, but I helped them and they'll help me. So how they helped me was that I get to use their space for free. They give me their artistic, like professional advice in whatever way that I want to execute my projects. But in return, I'll help them with like front of house, when they have events, stuff like that. So at the art gallery, that was when I wanted to sculpt something. I thought like I want to be more tactile and hands-on with my art. So I was like, why not sculpt something, make something physical that I personally would collect? Because in that period of time, I like to collect a lot of different knickknacks or not really toys, but maybe vintage kind of stuff. So I'm a little bit more of a sentimental person-ish. So if someone passed me something, I'll tend to like hoard it and like keep it. And I like to go to like thrift shops, garage sales. So I got like a Banksy book that I got for like $1. I got Monopoly sets. I got like an old vintage Pokemon Pokédex. I got a Omnitrix from Ben 10. So I got all of these like cool little things. So I was like, why not? Let's sculpt something that I would personally want to collect. And in that period of my life, I was really into cows. It was an inside joke with me and my friends, because I just drink milk straight off the bottle. And I wanted to go to gym. I wanted to exercise. So I was like, why not create something that fuses those two main interests in that period of my life together? So I was like, why not make like a super buff cow? And
Dude,
that's how Beefy Boy was made. Yeah.
on it like it's so good. We're gonna go through all your life for sure, but I'm so pumped about this figure. So take me when you like you did some kind of art, but this is a fully different thing: package design and
Yes.
sculpting and all that stuff. So
Yes.
take me to the point where you start switching. From or you start engaging in art as a kid to like when you start pivoting towards like recognizing that toys can be an art, which how are I'm assuming those are really far apart, right? Yes, you start doing art. Yeah, so take me back to when you start doing art as a kid, and then we'll walk it up.
Well, good question. My earliest memories is watching Pokemon. I grew up playing Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, like the card game, but also the shows. Like I was a massive fan of those two. So massive fans now. So the earliest memory is me asking my mom to draw me some Pokemons so I can color them in.
Awesome.
So like I think we printed some coloring sheets, but if we ever ran out, I'll just ask my mom to draw like the outline of Pokemons and then I'll just like color them in. So that was like I think the main part of me collecting or like doing art. And growing up, I think I just like to draw my own creatures. Like I'll just have like a little notebook of like my own little creatures. I'll just like create, give them like a backstory similar to Pokemon Crush. I'll give them like stats and stuff. Then going into high school, that was when I wanted to learn fine art as well as photography. So I got to learn a little bit of both. I did photography first, but then I was leaning towards fine art because I like the tactile feel of it, like actually having a paintbrush and like painting on a canvas or sculpting something from like mud podge or plaster, stuff like that. Yeah. And then now how I went into toys, I think was... during uni was a lot of branding art stuff. So I had to do fashion branding for, how should I phrase it? Like fashion brands have to kind of like make zines. So that kind of art was a little bit more digital. I have to like maybe make mock-up magazines to kind of like show different topics. Then when I was doing digital, I was like, why not? I want to learn how to sculpt digitally. So I went on Nomad Sculpt. I got it on I have an iPad. So I mixed between Procreate and Nomad Sculpt. So that was like kind of my first exposure to 3D sculpting. Yeah. Then when I came back to Singapore after further studies, I decided to pursue toy making a little bit more seriously. So I went on a toy making course here in Singapore. It was a very niche course. This specialized art school as for diploma level. So I was not the oldest one there. I think the oldest student was about like 60 plus.
Oh my gosh.
Such a G. He was still wanting to learn how to do toy making. He was a very good sculptor with clay and painter for like model kits. But I think he wanted just to learn how to do 3D modeling or like physical sculpting.
Insane. So yeah, insane. One of the things that I am so pumped about your figure. So in the U.S. in the early 90s, we had Cowboys of Moon Mesa, one of the coolest toy company or toy brands that came out. I don't know if you got to play with it when you were – how old are you?
29 this year.
Okay, so you might have been able to see them as a kid. They were so crazy looking. And the way their hands and their feet and their hooves, like all those things.
Cowboys of Mumasa.
Yeah. And they were absolutely rad. And your figure is like reminiscent of that. It gives it gives some kind of like homage to it, which I love. Like their hands are different than their feet and just like yours. And that's what, brought me to it. You seeing, because I want to walk through Beefy Boy, because it is such a unique design and there's so much thought put into the sculpt and so much thought put into the design. All of this just to come out of the fact that you liked milk is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you had an inside joke, you guys liked milk or whatever. And then now this is where we're at because it is kind of the basis of what you create now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so tell me about the first, because you've made multiple sizes. I had the smallest one on my shelf.
Yeah.
I have this one and now I see that there's at least two more options.
Yes.
And so when you're sculpting this, tell me about the idea of this, because it doesn't look like a normal cow. It doesn't have those vibes. It has like almost like Minotaur vibes to it.
Yeah.
So tell me about the sculpt as you were walking through this process.
Actually, the very first idea that I had of Beefy Boy was nothing like what you see now. Now it's a little bit more humanized with like maybe a humanized features. Like you can see it, like it's actually chest and like muscles, right? That you'll see on like a bodybuilder. But my very first iteration of it was I took a lot of reference from Power Rangers, from Mazinga Z, from Mazinga Z. I kind of wanted a mech Beefy Boy, a mech cow, but a little bit more simplified version. So kind of like very simplified, like gauntlets kind of as for forearms. So I was like, it doesn't really communicate the idea that I want it to. It, you can tell that it's muscular, but I think the mech kind of doesn't personify the character. Then when I was looking through the design again, and the main idea was that I want people to know that he actually goes gym. And at the top of my head, what is one toy that everyone knows that is super muscular, which was He-Man. Like He-Man instantly, the build and proportion and character design of it is amazing. I actually haven't owned an actual He-Man toy yet.
Okay.
I bought a He-Man WWE figure. I think it was like a Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
With He-Man. But I don't have the actual He-Man himself.
Okay. So we need to get you one soon.
I need to get one. Yeah. But I got inspired by that. And I was like, wow, I really like how, like, I just the design of it. It was very balanced. It was the proportion was amazing. So I was like, okay, I need to somehow implement this into Beefy Boy. I think one unique one is the udders that I like. The udders has a six pack. Mm-hmm. So instead of like six pack, it's six udders.
Yeah.
But it might be a little bit, not controversial, but a bit weird. I'm calling it a Beefy Boy, but only female cows has udders. So I thought, you know what? Let's just keep it. It's a very unique part of Beefy Boy. Why not?
Yeah. What's crazy is not only that. So in the design, as you're doing it, you have the hooves on the bottom.
Yes.
The one that I have has fur all over it.
Yes.
And then the hands are very much like they're different than everything. Why the hands like that when you're creating this?
I wanted it to be a little bit bear brick Lego-ish, a little bit more simplified, a bit rounder.
Yeah.
But also because of it, then it can hold stuff. So I was trying to think of how I can design a hoof into kind of a humanized hand with some sort of like thumb that can like open and grip stuff. Because a hoof is just like playing flat. So I was like, why not just imagine if it's a hoof kind of like cupping and bending, trying to hold something.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought if a cow would want to hold something, it will like cup it and hold it rather than kind of like split into like phalanges, into fingers and like grip stuff. That's why I thought like maybe this would be somewhat might be an accurate kind of imagination of how a cow would hold stuff.
Absolutely. And then the packaging. Yo, let's take a pause real quick. Are you trying to launch a Kickstarter? Are you new to making toys? Are you trying to figure out how to do this Instagram thing and marketing and business side and all that, and that we want to care for the community and we want to be there for everything that is going on with the community and people that need help, because we were once helped, so we want to pass that on. If you are looking for that kind of stuff, let us know. We will answer questions. We also are starting this new thing where we can help you through the entire process, because it is sometimes overwhelming when you're just stepping in and you're trying to get information from everywhere and piece it together. And it's always nice to have it all in one spot. So if this is you, shoot us a DM. We'd love to talk to you. It's basically a milk carton.
Yes, yes. I initially designed the milk carton. I had a good friend of mine who is very creative. He's great in graphic design and packaging. So he helped me a lot with the headers, with the stickers. But I shared with him the idea of making a milk carton. So I initially sold it in blind boxes instead of blind bags. And the boxes is a small version of this. Basically, it's exactly the same, but scaled down to a small one. So I really wanted it to... My unique selling point is that I want it to be a milk carton. So I got it. It's like a Windows Explorer background. Has my logo, like 100% fresh, like recycling. And then like a fax and information.
So good. Right at the back.
Yeah. Gosh. When I first made it,
yeah,
I designed everything myself. So I didn't have like a box template or anything. So I bought like different milk cartons and I was like, how do they make it? Like, how do they actually package, like design the package design of a milk carton? And how can I replicate it as like a, as an artist who doesn't want to like order big bulk from a manufacturing company? So I had to like design like a 2D flat layout and like see how I can like fold it all into it. And what I designed wasn't really user-friendly.
Yeah.
So on the night before my first show, I decided that when I made this design, I realized that I was in a predicament. It had a lot of human touches that I need to do, like a lot of folding, a lot of gluing. So when I realized that I was in too deep, I need a lot of help, my friends like gathered to help me. They came over to my house. And we spent like one night just everyone folding and gluing and stapling everything.
Yeah. Good people. Good people.
Good people. I'm so grateful for them. But yeah, now I know that this looks cool, but I need to go back and revisit a version 2 of this, how to make it like a lot easier. Yeah.
I mean, it is rad. I do have questions as it pertains to like, there's some design choices, right? So these are all 3D printed by you?
Yes, 3D printed. Not 3D printed by me, sorry. I get it 3D printed by someone in Singapore.
Okay.
So this guy, he's amazing. I think he just loves 3D printing. He loves to support artists. So his price is fairly good. It's very good. And there's no MOQ or anything. So why I decided to get 3D printed by someone else is because I don't think I have the space in my house or the time. Like I know how to 3D print, but I don't know how to like troubleshoot. I know how to 3D print on a filament printer, but with resin, I'm not familiar yet. And if I do get a 3D printer now with technology advancements and stuff, I don't think it's too expensive.
Right.
But with me buying the different type of filament and testing and troubleshooting, I think it's just a bit easier for me if I outsource it to someone here locally to do it. And I can just like collect it myself.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is the way it's done. It feels so light. So it feels like these are partially hollow almost.
Yeah. Yes.
Because which is crazy cool, especially when it comes to shipping and stuff. And then no articulation.
Yes.
Is that
for now?
Okay, so there is a desire to do articulation.
There is a desire to do articulation. Okay. I had an early idea of it being sort of like build a figure, like Marvel's build a figure, or like build a bear.
Yeah.
Where I have different designs. I have a butcher, which is very funny. I like it. I have a ballerina and the policeman that I showcase, but I didn't follow up on it. I was going to do it like customizable pieces where you can like change the legs, the arms and the head. So you can like basically build your own Beefy Boy.
Yeah.
But still no articulation. I was using magnets or joint system, But in the future, I do want articulation. Because with it, if I do want to make a soft vinyl, then if I perfect the design feature of articulation, then I can make a softobee that can articulate.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's in the works.
Now you're speaking my language. I love soft vinyl. I love helping people make it and getting stuff done. And I feel like this is the perfect piece to do that because it's simplistic, but it's so detailed at the same time. And I don't know how to tell you, like, how to describe that any other way other than, like, it's great. Oh, it's a great toy.
Thank you.
And, like, the amount of detail or the amount of different paint styles that can go through, all that stuff, which is so insane. And I absolutely love it. So take me to the point. You sculpt this toy. You make it. Tell me about your first show. And honestly, tell me how long you've been doing this.
Excuse me. This year would be my third year.
Okay.
Being public with toy making.
Great.
Yeah, very, very grateful. It's been a cool journey. My very first show was so fun. It was so tiring. I didn't know what to expect, but it was so fun. Yeah. I learned a lot. Some changes in terms of like packaging has changed. So I mentioned that before was a milk carton. Mm-hmm. Now I changed it into kind of like a like Japanese kind of packaging design with like a bag and then with a header. So before this was how I plan of doing like my blind box. It will be a blind pack instead. And again, I said that I like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon and like collecting cards. So I kind of want have that like just rip and open. So yeah. I did like a Ziploc bag. I stapled the header on the seam where you can just tear. So if someone wanted to just like rip it open, they can just rip, or they can like unstaple it, keep the header, and like open the Ziploc. So there's two different choices. But the very first show, I think I prepped a lot, which I'm satisfied with. I had a series one of all the small beefy boys in the 6cm. I had the main middle one.
Yep.
I had a future projection of what I wanted to do, which is the Build-A-Bear design and concept. I got a very good set of friends who came down and helped me. I actually made more than what I thought would sell. I think I was expecting to sell a lot, but I think my intentions were not like that's what I shouldn't be. That was not what I should have expected. I should have expected to network and kind of just gain exposure, just talk to different people, collectors, and different artists, which is also what I did. So I wasn't too hung up on selling. So I got to talk to a lot of cool people. Mm-hmm. And those cool people are like my friends now, which is pretty sick.
That's rad. I think it's always important to kind of talk through like how we actually did at the first show, right? Because then we gotta learn, move forward. So how did you actually sell at the first show? Did you sell some pieces? Did it not sell at all? What did we think?
I got to sell more than what I thought. Okay.
We interrupted this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures in DKE Toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
I think having confidence now in the pricing took some time because especially at your first show, I have nothing to gauge on. Yeah. So it was very hard for me to price my toys. So some things that I thought wouldn't sell, and some things that I thought would sell didn't sell. Mm-hmm. So it was a massive emotional roller coaster. I thought the small one would attract a lot more people and having that blind box kind of feel. But maybe for a new artist that maybe no one has heard of yet, was very hard to execute. So I thought that would sell, but it didn't sell as much. But the big ones, I thought those wouldn't sell, but those sold a little bit more. Because I think as you're walking by, if you're just walking by a new artist, you don't know their stuff, you won't really tend to see the small one. You'll see what catches you, which is the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe as they walked by, they saw the big ones, and I was like, okay, let me get the big ones. Yeah. So I did, my idea was to have 100 different 18 CMs.
100?
I forgot how. 100 different ones, the 100 different one-offs.
Yeah.
I think I'm on 17. So first I had just basic colors.
Yeah.
Then I had chrome.
Yeah.
Then I had matte black. And then now I'm doing a little bit more intricate designs. So like this one's the Hulk. I did one which was kind of like frosted, like a snow kind of design. Yeah. So I'm still a long way to 100. But yeah
100 is, dude, 100 is a lot to hope for.
I mean, it's a no rush. I think it'll be cool to just think of 100 different designs, and then I'll be like, okay, it'll be time to start developing a second character.
Yeah, so this,
I mean, 100
is...
designs in 18 cm that'll be selling. Yeah,
so this is your main toy, correct?
This is my main toy for now. I brought another sculpt that I have that I can show you later. I have like two projects.
Awesome.
Now, yeah.
So after the first time tabling, what were some of the things that we... Because you continued to table, correct?
Yes.
There were other shows? Yeah, tell me about those other shows. What did we learn along the way?
So in Singapore, there is two shows. One is Pop Toy Show, mainly with the Pop Mart franchise and an international artist under Pop Mart.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is SGCC, which is Singapore Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
I think it used to be Singapore Toys, Games, Comics Con, but now it's just Singapore Comic Con. So two have very different markets. So those are the two conventions that I have in Singapore. What I learned from tabling is maybe the confidence to talk to different artists, but also your potential customers, to engage anyone that is like coming by and seeing your booth, just to talk to them be friendly and not to intentionally hard sell to them, but just to like communicate your design ideas, because they might think it's cool, they visibly think it's cool, but they don't know the story of it. So you have to somehow communicate the story within a few sentences. Like, you don't want to just like lecture them on the whole idea and then them walking away, which is fine. But I think it's easier for everyone. You just try to communicate your idea as easy as you can to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, I mean, talking to artists is always crazy, because the way that we do it, I mean, we talk to artists all year. So then when we get to DesignerCon or we get somewhere, it's not as crazy, because we've done it all year. It's mostly artists that we know well. But to be an artist that doesn't do interviews, you're now walking up to people's booth and kind of asking them like, hey, how do you do this? Tell me about your process, all that stuff, which can be nerve-wracking. And I think that, like, I don't know about, tell me about the toy scene in Singapore. I know that in the US, or when people come to DesignerCon, it feels just like a giant family, and everyone comes, everyone's friendly. If you have questions, usually they'll answer, they'll point you in the right direction. Yeah. What's it like in Singapore?
Singapore is growing pretty quick. I think it's getting to that. It is family, because the amount of toy, like the physical number of toy makers in Singapore, is not as high as maybe other countries. But then that is also a good thing, because when you go to different conventions and tables, you see familiar faces. So everyone like, hey, hi, how are you doing? It's nice to see you again.
Yeah.
So you get to really talk to them and catch up with them. And it's growing. A lot more people are getting to know designer art toys or art toys. A lot more people are collecting as well, which is mm-hmm. nice. So with that growing in the number of artists and the number of collectors, it just grows the future conventions and market for it. So I think it is growing. The sense of community is also growing. Yeah,
that's rad. What's cool too is like there are a lot of Singapore artists, and there's a lot of people. A lot of the artist market is just so different on that side of the world than compared to here. Yeah. Like the collector market is crazy over there, and so the goal one day is to somehow get into that collector market, which would be amazing. Yes. What does it? I mean, when you walk around at these conventions or these shows, have you been to another show anywhere else?
I've been to Thailand Toy Expo. Okay. And recently I went to the Jakarta toy con.
Yeah. Jakarta is supposed to be giant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty sick. It was my first time to go there, and it was massive. It was pretty cool.
Are you selling at these other ones, or are you just attending?
So for Thailand, it was my first time attending the Thailand Toy Expo, and just going overseas to see a toy convention.
Yeah.
Jakarta was my first time boothing and tabling. So I went with other friends in Singapore who are also toy makers. So we went down as not really a collective, just a group of friends who loves toys and makes toys. So we just went there and like sold our stuff.
Yeah. Dude, that's so sick. I want to do that so bad. Let's talk about these new designs. So you've been with Beefy Boy for a while. You have a full setup. You have a full blind box style thing. You're now in bags. You have three or four different sizes. You have the giant one that goes with you. Now, are we moving away from that with these new designs or just adding?
Yes
to it?
And no. Okay. Yeah, I'm moving away, but still having the same character, Beefy Boy, but trying to think of different mediums or like different designs. Okay. So first, if you don't mind, I can show you.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to talk through it. Oh, absolutely. It's the the popsicle. I like cowsicle. Yeah.
Cowsicle, popsicle. Yeah, so I worked at an ice cream cafe, a gelato cafe. Mm-hmm. So I was very inspired and I wanted to kind of like pay homage to it. So I made like a popsicle from Beefy Boy.
In the US, these like ice cream trucks that drive around. And yes, so they have that, but the eyes are always in weird places.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I took inspiration from those two, like those derpy popsicles.
Yeah.
Like SpongeBob or like usually famous characters, right? With the two round eyes, and it's not always lined up properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I took inspiration from that. And a local popsicle that I like in Singapore or like in Asia. It's called Paddle Pop. Have you tried it before?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay. Sick. Oh, no. But basically its design is kind of like red, blue, and yellow kind of like swirled around.
Heck yeah.
So I combined both of them, I mixed them with Beefy Boy, and I got like a little popsicle.
It looks incredible.
Oh, bless. Thank you. And I designed this like header for it. Kind of look like a popsicle kind of packaging.
Yeah. I mean, the next move is to actually sell those as a popsicle. We got food. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought of like giving out, I'm not sure of the rules and regulation of serving food when you're a toy vendor, but if I can, that'll be very, very cool. I think the making process is similar to how you make like resin cast toys. You still have to make a silicone mold.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of pouring resin, I just pour like popsicle lots of popsicle juice.
So for the molds, you have to get food safe molds, and those they get made elsewhere. You don't have to make them. And then I don't know the regulations in Singapore, but I know in the US, if you start making food and you try to sell it, sometimes it's not good. Like, you can get busted hardcore.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functions. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
What happens if you give it as a freebie, like for free?
Oh, if it's free, I don't think there's a problem. There's been a couple artists, couple of my favorite artists. They do a show called The Toy Rats on YouTube.
Okay.
And they run M1 Robots, and it's Stump Workshop and Mr. or Dr. Why can't I? It's, I don't know. It's Dr. Toys. That's what it is.
Okay.
On YouTube. And they did a show. They did DesignerCon 2 or 3 years ago, and they handed out a cinnamon like sucker that I can't remember the head. I think it was like RoboCop.
Okay.
And, but they weren't allowed to sell them or anything. And I don't even know if they did them widespread, but I got one. It was great. I ate it. I don't care. Yeah. So I think food can be done for sure. And I think that would be such a sick, sick option to do.
Okay. Interesting.
When you, so that's the one design. What's the other? You said you had two designs that you're working on.
Yes. So the other one is me and my friend's first Sofubi. So we got our first Sofubi.
Let's see it.
Which is this.
Oh my gosh. It's giant.
It's clear.
Yeah.
So there's three of our characters. Uh-huh. The beefy boy one is here.
Yep.
And then the middle one is a frog, Froakie. Uh-huh. And then the this one is Hornbill from another Rhino Me.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So there's our three characters like with their cheeks squished together.
Are those all three characters that you guys have like worked together to bring together?
It's our individual like characters.
Yeah. Cool.
It's each of our artists' characters. So the hornbill, he is from Malaysia, Sarawak, so it's kind of their national bird. The middle one is he is from Indonesia, so he designed this frog, and then me from Singapore. So it's kind of like three of us, and then we went together to make our first collab Sofubi.
Oh, I love it. I love that design. Yeah. Is so fun. It hits the market of like cute and also design oriented, which I think is such a cool thing. Do you have painted versions of it or just clear?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. So far, just clear. We're painting them now. Mm-hmm. So now we're learning to paint the soft vinyl as well as making mask for it, because we realized that this is one solid piece.
Yep.
And to paint the piece with three different character colors will be a little bit hard or new. So we're learning how to do it. Yeah. Dude, so we're painting them now.
That's I mean, there's, have you thought about just having the factory paint them so that it's not so hard?
We thought about it. But I think if we just have clear, then we can also do our own customized version of it as well. So we just ordered clear so far. So we might order colored ones, or potentially we're exploring maybe glow in the dark as a base. Because if we just have different bases, we can always paint them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. Man, that's cool. And then I did see one. I don't know how you got in contact or started doing like partnerships with AJ in Australia. AJ.
Yeah.
And there is a version of Beefy Boy that it doesn't exist anywhere except the one that he painted, correct?
The one that he painted. Yeah. I got one that I need to send to him as well. So I went to Australia for a little bit for like a month. And then that's how I came in contact with This Is Not a Toy Story. So with the beautiful people there, like AJ, Fletcher, and Chiptar, mm-hmm. The three of them who, was under This Is Not a Toy Story. So I got to meet all three of them. And after meeting AJ, he was like, oh, bro, let's like make a piece together. And I was like, what, with me? That would be sick. Mm-hmm. So he just sculpted Beefcake, which I think is a quick nickname or project name that we gave it. He mixed both of our characters together. So he got it sculpted, he got it printed super quick, like super talented. He got it done and then gave a blank to me, and he gave a painted one to me. So he's the painted one is for you. The blank one you can like paint and then send it to me. Yeah.
That's amazing. Dude, it looks so good. It was such a cool piece. The head. So cows, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my history with cowboys and Moon Mesa, but
yeah,
cows are such a fun piece to have and how they're used. And so I like the idea that you have a cow that you're using and doing all kinds of things with. We also had a toy company or a toy line a long time ago called Barnyard Commandos that had like farm animals with like weapons on them.
Okay.
And it just like all of those, anything that has like some kind of barnyard animal just speaks my language, which I absolutely love. So with all these things, I mean, this seems like, I was just talking to a friend today. There's so many more toy shows going on worldwide than ever before. And so with all this stuff in mind, are there more toy shows? Like, what's planned for 2026? What does that look like for you?
I want to create at least 2 to 3 more different projects. Mm-hmm. It can be Beefy Boy related or a completely new sculpt. And also to go to more overseas toy conventions. So my resolution of sorts for myself is to really push and pursue toy making a lot more. Last year, I had a pause on it because I started a full-time job and I didn't have a lot of time to kind of do toy making last year. So I really felt that and I wanted to pursue it more this year. So this year, 2 to 3 more projects and go to more overseas conventions, be it in Asia, which is a little bit easier for me in Singapore to go to, or like America would be cool to go to, like DeepCon, that would be sick. So to go to more conventions and maybe kind of work more on the sculptural aspect. I kind of want to do gallery shows if possible. So kind of like still making toys, still making sculptures, but kind of to put them in a gallery setting would be also very cool.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is now that you've said this is your resolution, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get out of it now. We all know.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that's crazy. I'm pumped. I can't wait to see what you do. I mean, coming to DesignerCon, they just announced a second one in the US. Ooh. So there's one over summer and then there's one in November. I think so. Those are the two. And then you have like Comic-Con that's here. And then you have Collected-Con, which is happening in April. So there's so many shows that are everywhere. And I don't know what it's like to fly out of Singapore into the U.S. I know that where DesignerCon is, the one in November, it's in a major hub. So like
it
should be cheaper to fly there, which is cool.
Okay.
It's in Vegas, yeah. Dude, you have so much ahead of you for 2026. I can't wait to see what happens with Beefy Boy.
Yeah.
Do we have plans to make this into a soft vinyl?
I do have plans for it.
Okay.
Maybe more of the base design Beefy Boy, not the one that you're holding, the Minotaur one. I have plans to make it into a soft vinyl. The only design aspect that I need to fix is the shoulders.
Hold it close.
Right now the shoulders is a little bit more oval. So if I is a bit more oval. So if I want to have it articulate, I kind of have to make it more like circle. Like, so when it does rotate, it doesn't compromise the range of movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're ready to start, and you want to do that, I'm ready to get a colorway just for Toys on Tap for sure.
Oh, bro, that would be sick. That would be sick.
Because that'd be cool. I can tell you there's nothing more important to me than one, a toy artist that is passionate about their toys. Two, soft vinyl. I've fallen in love with it. And then three, good packaging. And if we could get an actual milk carton that you like have to tear the middle so it like opens and you got to pull the toy out.
We could do it.
We could for sure do it.
Yeah.
No problem. So when you get to that point, you let me know, because I already have for the colorway in my head right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be like white and black with pink udders. I think that's so funny.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
The last part of the podcast is really just plugging all the stuff and where people can find you. I know we talked earlier about maybe not being as vocal on Instagram or social media, but where can people find you? How can they get Beefy Boys? Where are they going to see you at your next show?
You can find me on Instagram at MerthWiz, MERTHEWIZ. And the next show that you can find me is going to go to Malaysia for Super Toy Fest, or at least that's the plan, to go to Malaysia in KL, Kuala Lumpur. So I think that's where you're going to see me physically next. If not, perhaps in Singapore for another pop toy show, which is happening in August. Yeah, Super Toy Fest in June, pop toy show in around August time. Yeah, and yes, I'll be 100% more vocal, more present on Instagram. Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude. People are going to, I hope that people come and get your pieces, because the Beefy Boy design is so sick. Thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Oh, thank you for inviting. It's been an honor.